play Set for Life, and you could £10,000 every month for 30 years. Set for Life. Play now on the National Lottery app. Terms, rules, and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Is it that time of week? That time of the week already? Goodness me. Hallelujah. Let joy be unconfined. If you don't know what this is, I don't think I need to explain it anymore. It's been running for so long now that it's become something of an institution and also quite self-explanatory. I'll tell you two things that you need to know. Number one, it's the only hour of radio every week that comes with a prize. There is a good prize to be won for my favourite contribution of the week. And that prize is a brand new Mystery Hour board game, which is... So people keep telling me about new ways in which they have managed to enjoy it. So I got an old friend from school who came to one of my book gigs telling me they just sit with the cards at the dinner. If they're going out for dinner, instead of taking a pack of playing cards, they take a pack of question cards and play the game without the board. Just keep the card if you win a point. Anyway, I digress. Somehow, the people at Big Sky Games managed to turn it into a brilliant board game. And you can win one if you make my favourite contribution of the day. Find out more about the game at mysteryhour.co.uk, where you can, in fact, buy it. And the full terms and conditions for that competition, because it abides by all the rules of adulthood and radio regulations, can be found at lbc.co.uk. I think that's what we'll do. That's it. We'll just crack on, and you can work out how it works if you haven't listened to it before by listening to it now. 5 minutes after 12 is the time. Let's start in Felix, though. Abby is there. Abby, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
Thank you. Can I say I'm a big fan and I'm very nervous because it's my first time calling in.
You can say both of those things, and I can say to the first, thank you, how kind, and to the second, don't worry, it's only me.
Thank you. Okay, so my question is, a few weeks ago, I listen to your show every week, and a few weeks ago, somebody asked a question about gladiators and about their stage names. My question and my thought process from that was, I wondered if anybody ever asked for their autographs. And then I thought, I wonder how long we've been asking for autographs for. You know, how long has that tradition been going on? Why did it start and who started it?
It's a really funny one, isn't it? Because it doesn't, I mean, I suppose you're just, it's a memento of meeting somebody, isn't it?
But at what point did somebody become so,
who would have been first asked for autographs? The origins? Well, we need to distill it down to a single question, Abby. So,
okay.
What is it, the first recorded autograph?
The first recorded autograph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the first? The first known case of someone asking for an autograph or getting an autograph or signing an autograph.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully whoever rings in might be able to give us a bit more background on where the autograph came from.
Did you know? I like that question a lot. I'm doing Greek at the moment on Duolingo. I'm trying to improve my Greek. And because it involves me seeing written Greek, as I've managed to speak a bit over the years, I'm realising things that I hadn't realised before, and I can see, with the word autograph written down in front of me, I can see where it comes from in the Greek.
Oh, go on then.
It means written by yourself, aftho graph. So graph, as you'd expect, is writing, and then aftho is he or self or this or they. It's like a definite article, so it means that you wrote it yourself. Self-written.
Wow. Okay.
Written down. You don't sound that impressed.
No, I am.
No, you're not.
I'm impressed. I'm interested in the origin of the word.
There it is. It's Greek. And also, I'm on a 5-day streak and counting. Thank you, Abby. After. I probably got that slightly wrong, but I wouldn't have seen that before because I haven't been trying to see the written Greek in front of me rather than just the learned words. Mike is in Taunton. Mike, question or answer?
Hello, James. I have a question. So I'm sat in my dining room looking at the fish tank.
Oh, yeah.
And there's about 10 different types of fish in the tank.
It's a big tank.
And there's some guppies. Yeah, he's quite big. There's about 100 fish in total.
Okay.
But there are guppies, there are gouramis. What I want to
Cold water, then, not tropical.
No, it's tropical.
Is it?
It's 25 degrees.
Okay.
Something like that.
I thought guppies were cold water fish.
I'll try it and let you know if they're still alive in the morning.
Go on.
So they all hang around in species groups. So the gouramis hang around together, the guppies hang around together, the neon tetras hang around together. What I want to know is, how do they know what they look like in order to do that?
self-recognition when you can't see yourself? Do they not have a quick check in the aquarium glass and then go swimming off in the right direction to the other No.
We should have put a mirror in there for them, shouldn't
they? How do they know what species they are? Is the question in a way.
How do they know what they are in order to hang around with other things that look the same? I then started thinking about maybe that applies to other animals. So we've got wild deer and ponies on the hills here in Somerset. And why don't the deer hang around with the ponies? But maybe they smell different. And then I thought fish
would be different. Fish don't really have a smell. I like that. You're on. I like that a lot. Thank you, Mike. How do fish know what fish they are in order to congregate with other fish of the same genus? Would that be the right word? Species? I don't know. Fishiness. Similar fish. Sarah, is it chaos, really? Is that a place?
Chaos. It's actually pronounced Shaush.
Well, it's not anymore. It's pronounced chaos as far as I'm concerned. But it's spelled chaos. It is literally spelled chaos. There's chaos in Portugal. Shaush. It's pronounced Shaush, like mouse.
It simply means earth or ground. It's not very chaotic.
Oh, how interesting. Question or answer?
It's a question, please, James. Has anybody actually ever died in the House of Commons or the House of Lords?
Well, Oliver Dowden came pretty close yesterday. Or do you mean literally?
I mean literally.
Oh, I see.
Especially in the House of Lords, all the people are quite old.
Part of me thinks that if it had happened, I'd remember it. Do you know what I mean? It would have come up but I can't off the top of my head think of any examples of it. But you mean dying in the chamber?
In the chamber.
Not even in their office afterwards or on the lavatory, but actually in the chamber.
I suppose the office or
No. It's got to be in the chamber.
In the chamber.
I love that. Yes. Well, I don't love it because obviously it'd be very sad for some people involved. But it's what made you think about that? For goodness sake.
Well, I was listening to the radio earlier, and somebody said breaking news, and I just heard the word collapse. I thought, oh, somebody's collapsed in the Scottish Parliament, and then I was thinking, I was out poo picking and thinking, and my mind got onto.
Anyone ever died in the chamber, on the benches? I shall find out for you. Thank you for that, Sarah. And also for introducing me to Chaos. Chaos, a town called Chaos. Sounds like a Netflix series. Adam's in Cambridge. Adam, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
It's about beer production. I run a pub, and I've noticed in the last few years the number of hazy beers are getting more common.
Yes.
And that's because a lot of brewers aren't using finings in their beer anymore. And sorry, I've gone off the point a bit.
I'm absolutely riveted. I love beer talk. You carry on. Fill your boots. No, you go on.
Finings traditionally were made from a product called isinglass, which is derived from the swim bladders of fish. And what I want to know is, where did that idea come from, that essentially fish guts could play a process in beer production? Baffles me that anyone ever had that thought, let alone was able to put it into practice.
Yeah. I mean, that's true of a lot of things, isn't it, in a way?
Mm.
I mean, the discovery of even certain combinations, or somebody at some point in the distant past looked at a calf suckling and thought, well, I'll have a bit of that milk. And then you've got the things that are poisonous and how we worked out that some mushrooms are not and all of it. But this is different. This is production. And then the idea that you've taken something out of a fish and thought, I wonder if that will make my beer less cloudy.
Yeah, precisely. It's
Well, wouldn't it have happened? The reason why I don't think you'll get an answer is I suspect it might have happened by accident.
I suppose that's entirely possible. I'd be open to the answer being absolutely anything, so baffled by it I am.
But it would be impossible to know when it happened because someone accidentally left some fish guts in their beer and noticed it went clear and then made some more beer and it went cloudy. And all the other way. Well, I'll put it on the list.
I hope someone out there knows. Because
what's it called again? Isinglass.
Isinglass. Spelled ISINGLASS.
Well, it would be, wouldn't it?
It would.
Not like Shouse. You're on. I'll try and find out. Thank you for that. I like that. And I like beer. Jack's in Wakefield. Jack, question or answer?
Hiya, James. It's a question.
Carry on, Jack.
Another first-time caller, so good to speak to you.
Likewise, mate. Thanks for getting in touch.
My question is there a scientific reason, or what is the scientific reason, that petrol smells so good to many of us, myself included.
You really like the smell of petrol. It's not good for you. I'm the same. When we used to keep like that bitumen smell as well. Do you know what I mean? Like fences, fresh fences.
Yeah, well, whenever I'm filling up my car, I just get a whiff of the stuff and I want to guzzle it. I know I shouldn't, but...
I don't like it that much. I've never wanted to taste it. I like the smell.
No, it's like I mean, it is just a really good smell, and I know I'm not alone in that. So
but why wouldn't it be? There's lots of things.
It.
Lots of things smell nice. Why is petrol any different? There's
most things that smell nice you can eat, or there's a reason that they smell nice, right? Petrol is obviously like toxic, so why?
You'd think that
Why does that smell so good to us? I also wonder if it's a diesel. I don't know about that, but that's obviously not my primary question.
No, why does petrol have an attractive smell when it is so toxic for us? Because I was thinking of Lush. You know Lush, the shop, Lush.
Yep.
Because that smells amazing, right? But you wouldn't want to eat anything in there. But that's been deliberately engineered to smell delicious. It's supposed to smell fruity and delicious to tempt you to buy their soaps. But it's not the same at all as petrol.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, it's not really. Yeah. But thank you, Jack. Good question. I used to love the smell of the garage when I was growing up, and it was because Dad kept the petrol mower in there, so there was that faint hum of petrol in the. I do know what you mean, although I've never been tempted to drink it. It's 12:15.
Mystery Hour.
You know, finding your best summer shouldn't be so hard. Scan your next Coca-Cola Zero Sugar and play for a chance to grab your pass to summer's biggest events, including music festivals, the UEFA Euro 2024 and the Olympic Games Paris 2024. GB 18 plus only. Promotion ends 19th of May. For full T's and C's, visit coke.co.uk/app/summer2024.
Play set for life and you could... £10,000 every month for 30 years. Set for life. Play now on the National Lottery app. Terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
With James O'Brien, this is LBC.
12:17 is the time. An interesting mix of questions this week. What was the first autograph? Who discovered that isinglass, which is a fish-derived product, would have a clarifying effect on beer? You can see why he's fascinated by that question, can't you? Has anybody ever died on the benches in the House of Commons? How do fish know what fish they are in order to make sure they hang out with other fish? My suggestion that fish don't smell has come in for quite a lot of criticism. And I can see why, given that fish really, really smell. But that's after they've come out of the water and been prepared for... I don't know that fish in the water can... Of course they can smell things. Sharks can smell blood. I think that question might not be as good as I originally thought it was, Mike, actually. But we shall see. And why do some people, really like the smell of petrol when it's really, really bad for you? I mean, it's not an evolutionary glitch, is it? Because petrol would only have been refined relatively recently, and it may well be... You know, if enough people were drinking petrol to actually have an effect upon reproduction, then people who like the smell of petrol would actually be removed from the gene pool. They would self-edit. That's how the survival of the fittest. And having a proclivity to drink petrol would put you very near the bottom of the gene pool. But of course, that's not going to be the answer. But nice smells. And I think, I could be wrong, because I've only got one word I use when I'm talking about wine. I get teased about it quite a lot, but I heard someone do it years ago when I was intimidated by wine lists, and I've done it ever since. I said, what would you like to do? I said, do you know what word it is? Can you guess what word I use? If the sommelier, if I'm somewhere posh, or the waiter. No, it's not extraordinary, Keith. It's a specific, so I can't say bring me an extraordinary wine. Bring us your finest wines. So I said, I'd like something. I'm ordering white wine. I say, oh, I'd like something. And I've got a word I use that I used to think made me sound very sophisticated, but now I think it just makes me sound a bit daft. But old habits die hard, don't they? Petrol, I'm pretty sure I've heard people talk about petrol-y top notes on wines, which kind of speaks to the idea that the smell for many of us can be quite attractive, when by most laws it really shouldn't be. 12:19 is the time. Eamon is in Ros-on-Sea in Wales.
Ros-on-Sea.
Question or answer?
Hi, James.
Hello.
Hi, James. You'll know more about this than most of us, I am sure.
Unlikely.
It's the nature of exact time. Do you remember in the old days when the analog signal used to give us the pips on Radio 4 at 6 o'clock, and
yeah.
the last long bleep would be timed to exact time?
Yeah.
Well, in the digital age, that isn't the case anymore.
Well, you've already disproved your first point, which is that I would know more about this than you. Sorry.
Now, like I consistently watch football matches on TV.
Yeah.
On coming through via the internet. My son lives in New York, and he is consistently ahead of me. So we also follow a game on Twitter, both
right.
of us on different Twitters. His Twitter is consistently ahead of my Twitter. So he'll tell me that my team or our team has scored 30 seconds before I see
really?
It happening consistently.
Okay.
And so much so that my wife sort of like hates me sitting there watching it with her because she, Diane, doesn't like me...
spoiler alert.
Telling her what... Yeah, spoiler
alert.
Yeah. But it consistently happens. Now, the football that we're watching is 40 miles away as the crow flies.
And yet he's getting the information quicker than you.
And he gets the information quicker than I do. Now, when all analog signals are turned off and we only have digital, what will be the nature of real exact time?
In broadcasts.
Well, yeah. Do we know when we're listening to something on the radio or watching it on TV? Do we know that it's exactly happening? We're only dabbling with 30 seconds or 10 seconds or 2 seconds.
No, but still, I mean, it can't be completely live because it, even if it's a nanosecond that it takes to travel from the place where it's happening to the place where you're watching it.
Yeah, but the analog signal on Radio 4, analog signal was always deemed to be.
As close as damn it to live.
Without bothering, yeah.
I understand almost everything you've said. Go on.
People listening to me on the radio now, of which there'll be about, I don't know, 12,
yeah.
people listening
Thanks,
to me
mate.
On the radio, they're not hearing me as I'm sitting, because I'm assuming you've got a 10-second or a 5-second...
Well, if you turned your radio on now, you'd hear a 10-second echo.
Right, yeah. But that, and that,
if you turned your radio on now, you'd hear a 10-second echo.
Yeah.
I'm here all week.
Very good.
But you actually would. Well, I phoned up Gordon Astley on Beacon Radio many, many, many moons ago. And I know that Gordon's often listening, in which case, hope you're well, mate. And they told me to turn my radio off, and I didn't. And so I'm telling a joke or whatever I was doing on his show. And then I hear the radio in the background. I answer his original question again. So I've got the tape somewhere. It's my radio debut. It might be of historical interest one day to the 12 people that you've just referenced. And so I go, "Hi, it's James from Kidderminster." And then a bit of banter, and I say, and I'd start telling a joke. And then I hear the radio in the background 10 seconds. I go, "Hi, it's James from Kidderminster." I do it again. And they obviously know exactly what's going on. But because I was only 9, they're a lot more patient with me than I am with people who ring this program and forget to turn their radio off in the background because of the echo it creates. So when we turn off all the analog signals,
how live
will it be?
How live will things be?
It's a lovely question, that, Eamon. Who do you follow?
Wrexham. Liverpool.
My
pains.
Yeah, so you've had a tough few weeks, haven't you, eh? What's happened there?
Well, I think it's exhaustion, isn't it?
I think it's psychological. And, since he announced he was going, I think something shifts inside.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't know whether there's any basis for that, but the opposite, of course, happening at Kidderminster now that Phil Brown has committed for another 2 years. A slightly bigger story, of course, than Jurgen Klopp deciding to take some time off from football management. Phil Brown's Red Army, albeit that we're getting relegated. The fact that he's signed up for another 2 years has been greeted with enormous, enormous joy back in the Shire. Thank you, Eamon. Hully is in Derby. You've been on already this week.
Yes, I have.
How did that happen? We don't allow this.
Because I'm a favourite.
I'm going to just have a quick word with the producer, all right?
No,
I am. You're all right. It's not your fault. Hully was on already this week. What do you think this is? The breakfast show? What?
Yes.
We like... Is it? Do we have different rules for mystery hour? All right. Apparently you're the beneficiary of a rule that has just been invented, Holly. This mystery hour is exempt from the be very, very careful of putting the same people on too often kind of thing. Question or answer, Holly?
Answer.
Oh, well, that explains it. You've obviously come up with something that we felt very few people would be able to come up with. Carry on.
The Parliament one, the House of Commons, should I say.
Yes.
So it wasn't, they've not, so this person wasn't, he didn't die on the thing, because I don't think anyone has.
Right.
But there was a guy that was our Prime Minister called Samuel Percival, I think.
Spencer.
That's it.
Yeah.
And he was shot.
He was shot.
By someone.
What was the name of the assassin?
John Billingham from Liverpool.
No
idea. He didn't like the government. He hated the government.
And was he was shot dead. Was he in the chamber at the time?
He was in the lobby of the House of Commons. This was before, obviously, it was guarded and things. I think the reason why it's guarded now is because he was shot. He was assassinated.
Qualifications? Qualifications? How do you know this?
I read a lot. I research a lot of things that I'm not 100% on. I like to be 100% on things before I give my opinion to things. So I do research a lot. I read a lot.
You couldn't do this job.
Why? Okay. I think I'd be great at that.
Of course you would. I was joking.
I think that'd be amazing. If you had me on the radio for one day, that'd be great.
You never know your luck. From Little Acorns, to start with a round of applause on Mystery Hour, Holly. And who knows where it may lead. Thank you for that. I'll cross that one off, but equally, if someone, and you'd think someone in the House of Lords, there's always stories, isn't there, when you're growing up about an old fellow who keeps warm in the library by sitting there with a newspaper, and then the librarian comes around at the end of the day and realises that someone's passed away at some point. That could easily happen in the House of Lords, you would have thought. I'm not making light of it in any way, but I'm just saying that for that reason and that reason only, I'm not removing Sarah's question from the board, although Holly's answer was both definitive and applause-worthy. Carl's in Exeter. Carl, question or answer?
It's an answer to the same question.
Oh, go on.
So Michael Roberts died at the dispatch box in 1983.
Oh, Lord, really?
Yeah, he was an undersecretary for Wales, and he stood up answering questions in the evening, and he had a massive heart attack. And he actually died at the dispatch box.
Albeit that they would have tried to do CPR and take him away.
They would have tried to do CPR. I mean, the Commons was suspended.
Oh, they tried
to do everything. And he was pronounced dead when he got to the hospital.
Yes.
But you can't pronounce somebody dead at the location anyway. So
can you not?
And no. Well, you wouldn't normally.
No.
You would normally try and get them to hospital whilst reviving them, but he was already dead by the time he got there. It was a massive heart attack.
Oh, dear.
So that was 1983.
Just needed one to answer the question. It was a yes or no question. How do you know that? I mean, qualifications?
I was a junior civil servant in the Welsh office at the time.
Oh, okay.
So he was one of my junior ministers.
Oh,
and I mean, I was very, very junior.
Yeah, of course, but you would remember, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, you absolutely remember. And there was a conversation that happened at the time about whether you were allowed to die in the House of Commons or not.
Ah, yes.
It's a myth that you're not.
I think Disneyland. You're not allowed to die at Disneyland.
Again, it's a myth.
Are you sure?
Absolutely, it's a myth.
Disneyland is a myth.
No, I don't know about Disneyland, but I know in the Commons that. And certainly in the Palace of Westminster,
Do you think, would a round of applause be inappropriate at this point, given that this is quite morbid?
I think a round of applause would be inappropriate, given that I knew the guy. And
yeah, I do too. I'm glad I asked.
Although a mystery hour game would be quite fun.
Well, I you're in the mix for that. But I think we both agree that it would feel a little odd for the round of applause to be issued at this point. But thank you for answering the question in such a definitive fashion. It is coming up to 12:30. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where we want to know who discovered that putting some fishy product into beer would make it less cloudy. The fishy product being known as Icing Glass. Why does petrol smell so nice when you really don't want to be drinking it? How live will broadcasts be when everything is digital? How do fish know that they are a certain species of fish in order to therefore congregate in a fish tank or in a body of water with other fish of the same fish-based specifications? And who signed the first autograph, or indeed who asked for the first autograph? Or I suppose to combine the two questions, what was the first autograph? It's coming up to 12:30. Tim Humphrey is here with your headlines.
Mystery. Shopify Point of Sale is retail made right, so you can give in-store customers what they really want.
Like click and collect?
Yep.
Can I display in-store stock online?
Definitely.
From every location?
From 1,000 locations.
Email capture? Easy returns?
Of course.
Can it make me right all the time?
No. Shopify Point of Sale. Retail made right. Visit shopify.co.uk/in-store to learn more.
What's this? This is a really good place to make a dare.
Great, isn't it? When kids have the freedom to discover the world around them, that's why Dairy Lee are offering £10 off family train tickets in partnership with Trainline. So even if it isn't sunny this weekend, you can still head to the countryside to find some really good climbing trees.
Oh, look at this one.
Set them free with Dairy Lee Discovery Days. Dairy Lee Triangles purchase required. Minimum £30 spend on Trainline. Ends 31st of May. Visit discoverydays.dairylee.co.uk for full T's and C's.
On LBC with James O'Brien.
31 minutes after 12 is the time. Joe's in Ferrybridge. Joe, question or answer?
It's a question, please.
Carry on, Joe.
What makes stuff sticky? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because like...
What?
Because different liquids, right?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about the stuff that I spilled down myself.
Right, right. It's a family show, you know, Joe. Steady
food,
on.
Food and drink.
Okay.
Nothing like that.
Right.
Food and drink, right?
Yeah.
And the certain stuff, you know, that is all right to clean up. Do you know what I mean? It just disappears, James. I don't even need to do much.
I know. I'm a big spiller as well, actually. It's not good. I should have grown out of it by now. I've got a nice new yellow jumper, Joe. I got it from Marks and Spencer's. And I was cooking puttanesca sauce last night, and I said to Mrs. O'Brien, "Do you know what? I'm 52 years old. I think I've finally reached the point where I know that I'm not going to successfully cook a tomato-based sauce without getting some splashes on my brand new yellow jumper from Marks and Spencer." So I took it off. I had a t-shirt on underneath. I wasn't like Nick Kamen in a Levi's advert. No, oh goodness me, I can't cook like that unless I'm barbecuing.
What a dinner time that would be, eh?
Hey, you're not wrong. What's for pudding? Anyway, go on. So I'm just
intrigued about, because obviously you've got the sort of lower end stuff like water, and you know sometimes when I have beans on toast, that's not too sticky, but then it starts to get a little bit more
crusty,
active as you go up.
Yeah. What's the stickiest? Recently. What's the stickiest then?
Have you spilt Ribena down yourself ever?
What? Undiluted?
The proper hardcore stuff.
You can't be messing with that, mate. Seriously.
None of that. But then, like, your more soury drinks, your more... not too much fizzy sometimes is all
sugar.
Right.
Sugar.
That thick stuff.
Sugar, isn't it? Sugar is sticky.
Yeah.
Is that
what they put in super glue?
That's a very good point. That is definitely not what they
put. Now I was going to go towards super glue.
You know, that's not sugar. That's not your sugar-based stickiness.
Don't put that on your porridge.
You wouldn't be wanting to have that, no. So it's going to be something, I'll tell you what, Joe, it's going to be something to do with molecules, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that word.
It is molecules. Somewhere it's molecules. And
sugar does play a part, surely.
In some stickiness, but as you quite rightly remind us, it's got very little to do with super glue.
Yeah.
As far as we're aware. So what makes something sticky?
Yeah, lovely. And then I can avoid it, do you know what I mean, when I'm trying to... You know, eat well.
You might not be able to. It might contain all your favourite things.
Oh, you're lying.
I know.
Don't ruin me.
I mean, there's a reason why you like thinking about Ribena and sticky stuff and nice.
Yeah. Well, I was just sort of looking
sweet
at the
Haribo sweets, melted sweets, mate. Melted sweets. Yeah. What are they like?
Exactly. I need to change my ways, really. But hopefully, I can learn from you today.
Well, bitumen, tar, all of those things. Right, you're on.
Oh yeah.
What makes something sticky? That's a great question. Thank you, Joe. 12:34 is the time. And Lee's in Belfast. Lee, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on.
So it's about petrol. So petrol has hydrocarbons in it, which is what we burn off in order to produce the energy. And some of these hydrocarbons, like benzene and toluene, you may find in there, are what we call aromatic compounds.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. So they're structured a bit differently compared to the other ones where they're sort of more complex. But these aromatic compounds are also commonly used in stuff like fragrances or deodorants. So the same chemicals that you might find in your petrol, often you might find in your expensive aftershaves or your deodorants.
What a fantastic answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Name some other, what they're called, aromatic compounds. Can you name some others? What did you say, benzene?
I've just been looking at my deodorants, actually, funny enough, before you said that. All mine contain one called limonene, which is a chemical that's found often in citrus peels and will give a fragrance a citrusy or fruity scent.
Nice. You're wearing the links, are you?
No, actually, it's, am I allowed to say brand names here?
Yeah, go on, of course you are.
I've got Old Spice.
Oh, blimey, that, crikey, Old, you got it, yeah, I like it. One of the classics. So it literally, petrol will contain some aromatic compounds, mm-hmm. which we would be unsurprised to find in things that we expect to smell delicious, mm-hmm. but it's the same chemical occurrence. Qualifications?
Yeah, I am a master's student in chemical engineering. Actually, I have one more thing. It's not a question, but it's something you mentioned in another answer question I think might be interesting.
You're not really allowed to do that, unfortunately.
And it's not an answer to a question.
Oh,
it's something you mentioned.
Go on.
There are places that have made it illegal to die there because they don't want people taking up spaces in the cemeteries.
What? How does that work?
Essentially, if you come there and you die, they will fine your family or a possible imprisonment if you die there. I know it's not related, but I just thought
What sort of places are we talking about? I'm all confused now.
There have been like towns, I think, in places like the US and Brazil.
Oh, just to save public money.
Essentially, but the local cemetery is becoming too full.
Yeah.
We just can't have
any
more
people. You can't register the death there, so the death has to be registered somewhere else, so that the bureaucracy and the logistics go somewhere else. Pear drops, Lee.
Yeah, pear drops as well. Yes, they will also have. I don't know which specific chemical.
But you get a whiff with a pear drop of solvent almost, don't you? Sometimes.
Yes, indeed.
Some sort
do.
Of solvent. Mark's just sent me the words pear drops, and for a moment I thought that he'd bum-dialed me or something, but that is obviously a contribution to the first part of our conversation before it all went a bit morbid.
Sorry. I just thought I'd...
I like it. Come all. And you get a round of applause, don't you?
Thank you very much.
Well played. Putting your chemical engineering masters to extremely good news. Charles is in Bagshot in Surrey. Charles, question or answer?
Oh, it's a very exciting accounting question.
Hooray! Go on, what is it?
I've always been confused. Do you know when a company's books are in dire straits and they're about to go bankrupt, they say the company's in the red?
Yes.
Which makes sense, because red is the colour of danger.
Yes.
Yet when they're in a good state, they say they're in the black.
Yeah.
Why not in the green? So I've never understood why.
Hang on, what's the question? What is the question?
So why do they say a company's in the black? Yeah.
In the black. Well, because they would have written it down in black, wouldn't they? Ink is black. And they'd only have two colours of ink, and you'd use the black ink all the time for your accounts, and then you'd use the red. So wouldn't it be that?
I just thought of that. That might be.
No, you haven't. I just said it.
No, I thought I had a brilliant question here. No, but
you wouldn't have had much ink, would you? It's not like now when you've got all these different colours in your printer. You'd have black and maybe some red. You're using a quill. Bob Cratchit.
Yeah.
Do you think he had green ink or black ink? But he was literally a clerk. He was doing Ebenezer Scrooge's accounts.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I don't know, Charles. I don't want to shoot your fox.
Can we get a qualified professional to answer?
What are you suggesting? I'll put it on the board. I like it, but I'd be surprised if it didn't have something to do with printing. Don't you think?
Possibly.
It's there. Thank you, Charles. Good work. 12:39 is the time. There was something I nearly did in the course of the last 10 minutes that I am very, very glad I didn't. And I wonder whether you would like to use WhatsApp to tell me whether or not you noticed. All right, so 0345 6060973. It's something I mean, I could have just about styled it out, but it would have been quite crass but also possibly quite funny, but offensive at the same time. I'm very glad I didn't do it. But just out for my own interest, because I'm not going to read it out, just WhatsApp me if you noticed. It wasn't with Charles, I should stress. Jeremy is in Bury St Edmunds. Jeremy, question or answer?
Hello. Well, it's a question, James.
Are you on the system as Jeremy in Bury St Edmunds now?
Well, I've just shifted my location to Bury St Edmunds because I'm moving there in a month.
I know, but is this your first call from there?
Well, no.
So you're already in the system.
12 miles away.
Because people will be confused. Tell people who you used to be. You used to be Jeremy from
Belsize Park.
Belsize Park. LBC legend. Yeah. How are you getting on? How's things?
Well, that's kind of you. I am very much looking forward to failing to become an independent MP. And in the meantime, I've got too much time on my hands. So,
I told you when you retired that you'd get bored. Didn't I say? You'll get bored. I said.
Let me tell you, I'm trying to address my various problems, okay?
Aren't we all, and Jeremy? Aren't we all?
I have a drink problem, James, which is that many years ago I lost all appetite for drink.
Gosh. Okay? That is a problem.
And it is. It really is. And so I've been trying to tell myself to get interested in wine. So I've been buying it.
Oh, yes. Okay? Yes.
I should say that this question is not something I'm likely to encounter, okay? But I've been buying posh wine.
Oh, okay.
And so I've been reading about it, yeah? This is all in a hope that it will make me want to drink it.
I like okay? it. I like your thinking.
It's a bit silly, but I'm buying a house with a lot of
cellar,
underground space.
A lot of cellarage, well, yeah, I believe, is the technical term. The cellar, so, yeah, well, why wouldn't you? Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, look, I've been reading about wine, and they keep saying, you know, decant 2 days before.
Oh, gosh, that posh.
Or two
that
hours
posh.
Before. No, that posh.
Wow, we're talking okay.
Posh, okay?
Yeah.
We're talking the sort of wine I wouldn't order in a restaurant, but some people must do.
Yes, okay. They must.
So the question for sommeliers or billionaires is, if you go into a posh restaurant and order a bottle of wine for several hundred pounds, then it'll need decanting, but you've only just gone in and ordered it.
What an excellent question, old boy.
Do they ignore the decanting and send you a bottle of wine which will actually be second rate because it hasn't been prepared properly?
But they serve it in suboptimal condition, in a way.
Yeah, or do they keep you waiting for 2 hours while you're gasping for a drink? Because it's not ready. I mean, it's not a problem that I will face in the immediate future, but you might. So
yeah, right.
I thought it would help if the nation were to address it.
This is a matter of great urgency. So it's a very good point. So you go for an absolute top of the range wine, and you will be advised to decant it hours, even days previously to drinking.
Indeed.
So what happens if you order it in a very posh restaurant?
I mean, lovely. I don't want to be caught in one of those socially awkward situations.
Could you imagine?
With a very rich person ordering a bottle of wine and saying, should you?
And I mean, crucially, is it working? Are you in any way rediscovering your palate?
I'm far too scared to open any of these cases of wine.
Because they're so expensive.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with them?
Oh, James, we haven't got time for therapy now, but maybe one day.
No, you're probably right. There it is. Jeremy, thank you. It's lovely to hear your voice. I hope our paths cross again soon. Jeremy was, before he retired, one of the leading speaker's agent. He also looked after performers of various and writers of various descriptions. But if you needed someone to speak at your event, he was your man. His company, of course, still running, but he's too busy looking sort of plaintively at big case, incredibly expensive cases of wine in his cellar. Coming up to 12:45, you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. That's quite a good question. I've got Angela Hartnett on Full Disclosure. I could have asked her, couldn't I? If that had come up, because I know she listens a lot to the programme. In fact, she's probably listening now. So I wonder, but you wouldn't want, if you were running a restaurant, you wouldn't want to say, well, we serve it in sub. So what do you do? If you've got a bottle of wine that's supposed to be decanted, do you phone up in advance? Or do you serve it in slightly suboptimal? It might be a difference. It might be 100% wine if you decant it 12 hours previously, and it's still a 98% wine if you do. So it could be small margins, perhaps. I don't know. But I do know it's 12:45.
Play Set for Life, and you could
Repeat.
£10,000 every month for 30 years. Set for life. Play now on the National Lottery app. Terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Mystery. How exciting is it to play the British Heart Foundation's weekly flutter? Ka-ching! Exciting enough to get your heart racing. Just a little bit. Like texting a mate. The same time they text you. Huh. Like flipping pancakes with majestic grace. Or spotting that last parking space. Yes! With the added joy of knowing the money you donate helps to fund life-saving research. £1 to play, £1,000 to win every week. Search British Heart Foundation Weekly Lottery. See? It's a little bit exciting.
Gamble responsibly. Over 18s only. T's and C's apply. Please see our website for more details. British Heart Foundation is a registered charity.
Going to the shops isn't everyone's bag. Like Toby here. He'd rather nurture his plants. So he gets everything he needs for dinner delivered to his door from as little as 20 minutes with Tesco Whoosh.
Keep reaching for the sun, Arthur. You're growing so fast, little one. Blooming lovely, aren't you?
Carry on, Toby. Tesco Whoosh. Every little helps. Fees apply. Delivery times 20 to 60 minutes. Selected areas. Whoosh specific pricing. See tesco.com/whoosh.
With James O'Brien. This is LBC.
Questions that need answers. The first autograph. How do fish recognise each other? Or indeed themselves? It's quite a fish theme, isn't it? Who put fish stuff in beer and discovered that it clarifies the beer? Done the petrol question. I like that. That was my brilliant answer. How live is live broadcast, especially when we turn off all the analogue signals? What makes something sticky? Why do we say in the black for when you're in profit or not in debt? And if a wine needs to be decanted hours previous to serving to be at its best, what on earth do they do when you order such a wine in a restaurant? Kerry's in the Shetland Islands. Kerry, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
Right. Taking the speed of light at 186,000 miles per second or 300,000 kilometres per second.
Yes.
Taking that unimpeded light from a radio station, or yes, not light from a radio station, sound, but radio waves which
waves
travel at the same speed of
light. Yes.
Will reach you just almost, you wouldn't know the difference, it's instantaneous. Mind you, if you were on Pluto listening to LBC, it would take 4 hours to get there.
Big shout to anyone on Pluto who is currently listening on LBC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And is digital sound waves as well?
No, we're talking analog wave. We're talking analog.
We're
talking
no, we're analog. Not. We're talking digital. We're saying what happens when you turn off all the analog.
Oh, well, when you turn off all the analog, the digital signals are coming routed through a cabling, fiber optics, satellite, many, many other
servers. Take a bit longer.
Yeah, it takes longer. Different servers. So you could be watching a station on, say, Sky, or listening to the radio station on your mobile phone, and it's taking a few seconds, not a few milliseconds, to get to you because it's going through various piping, such as...
I think that answers Eamon's question. We don't know why... Do we know why his son watching a Liverpool game in New York gets it quicker than he gets it watching it online in Wales?
Very likely because it's coming via satellite
to New York.
To New York, say, for instance, or it could be undersea cabling, which may be just as fast. It could be that the other way it's being routed through Australia, which is going to take a lot longer.
Oh, you live
the
and
light
learn.
From the sun takes 8.5 minutes to get here. That gives you an idea. But light and radio waves travel at the same speed.
I think you've answered it in their qualifications.
Amateur radio enthusiast and amateur astronomer.
Oh, look at that. Fantastic. Thank you, Kerry. Have a round of applause on me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jono's in Wareham. Jono, question or answer?
Yeah, it's an answer, please, mate.
Take your time.
It's on the beer.
Are you?
No, I'm not on the beer. Oh. It's for the beer question.
Oh, carry on.
It's a bit early for that, but yeah, no, well, maybe not early.
Get on with it. I've got loads to
all
get
right,
through.
All right, okay. So basically, it goes back to like villagers when they would go out hunting and things.
Yeah.
And so they would have, you know, their gourds.
Yeah.
Like
I had a gourd once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, from Mallorca. Do you remember you could buy when you were you come back from Mallorca with a gourd for your dad and a donkey for your mum?
That's the one.
So a leather gourd, and you'd put wine in it and pour it like a Roman into it. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
That's it. Yeah. So they were originally made out of fish guts and fish bladders, And they realised that the wine they were drinking from their gourd when they were out hunting and
travelling... The gourds were made out of fish bladders. They were not.
Yeah.
Were they? What?
Yeah.
They'd be big old fish.
Yeah, yeah. So they were... the wine that they were drinking away from the village from their gourd was clearer...
Than the stuff coming out of the barrel.
Stuff coming out of the barrel, yeah. And then, so, obviously they use fish guts for clarifying wine, and so they use that in the beer.
There might be a bit of wriggle room here. It may be that the gourds came from other creatures, but they realised
the stuff that there was made
was the gut based stuff was doing the business. So they experimented because it'd be easier to get hold of fish guts than it would be to get hold of cow guts.
That's it.
Albeit because the gourd. Wow, qualifications. I like this answer.
Yeah, yeah. So I ran pubs and I won a few beer awards, actually.
That'll
the youngest East Dorset Camera Pub of the Year winner.
Youngest East Dorset Camera Pub of the Year winner. Well, hang on. So you were Pub of the Year winner first, and then they realised you were the youngest?
Yeah. But I was.
So is that one award or two awards?
It's one award. Well, actually, that year I won the Rural Pub of the Year and the Overall Pub of the Year.
What's the pub called?
The pub's called the King's Arms in Wareham.
Well,
it's kind of bittersweet, actually, because it closed in September. I had to leave.
Oh, no.
Gutting. Just, you know, they're all... But we had Banks's Amber in there all the time, and I really wanted to invite you down.
Oh, I like it. I had Banks's. You have to travel quite far. So what was it? Just the couldn't get back on your feet after the COVID, or...?
Well, we actually took it on just after COVID.
Right.
And then we just couldn't... We just
Despite winning all those awards. So what are you doing now,
if
you don't mind me asking? You've still got...
I'm retraining to be a health and safety officer.
Well, there you go. That's a journey.
Yeah. It
is a bit different. Get a round of applause for your trouble.
Thank you very much indeed.
And my very good wishes. Thank you, Jono. 12:54. So the pub world's loss is the health and safety world's gain. Rowan's in Southend. Rowan, question or answer?
Well, according to the people that you've been having on, I might as well be sitting on Pluto because of the delay.
Really?
Yes.
Go on.
It's quite a delay. Anyway, an answer.
Yes.
In the black, in the red, we're going to blame the Romans on this one again.
Yes.
So it's definitely down to the colour of the ink. Vermilion, which was also used to paint the faces of the generals who were
the question's about in the black, not in the red. Why do we use in the black for people in credit?
Colour of the ink.
So it is the ink that they had, and then they'd use a red ink for debts and qualifications.
I had to write an essay on the history of taxation, and that included Roman taxation.
Was it a punishment for something?
No, it was 40% of my taxation. That I did as part of my PhD in accounting in
and it was in there. So really, it was Charles, I think, who asked the question, and he said he was an accountant. He should have known this. You did better in your accountancy exams than he did.
No, we will not go into how badly I did my accountancy.
Well, yeah, don't say that, because I might not be able to give you a round of applause. You might have misremembered.
No, I did. I got an 80% on that essay.
Round of applause for Rowan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rowan. Victoria is in Hawley. Victoria, question or answer?
It's an answer to the wine question.
Ah, splendid.
I imagine that the gentleman that you spoke to...
Jeremy.
He's no gentleman. I imagine that the kind of wine that he's buying is stuff, as you said, for investment.
Yeah.
That's going to be maybe slightly older, kind of first growth Bordeaux.
Yeah.
That are going to have already aged in the bottle.
Right. So it won't be on restaurant wine lists then.
It might be, but for me personally, I wouldn't be ordering it in a restaurant because of how much they'd be charging for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't need 2 to 3 days beforehand if he's opening at home to aerate it.
I don't understand what your answer is. So the advice he received from the vintner is that it does need that. And the question is, what if I ordered it in a restaurant?
In a restaurant, I'm working in the wine trade.
Yeah.
I've never opened a bottle of wine 2 to 3 days before I require it.
Well, he hasn't imagined it, has he, Victoria? Someone's obviously told him this.
True, but obviously someone must have told him that. But
it doesn't mean it's true or necessary.
Not necessarily, no.
And also, it might be what I said. It might be that you have a tiny incremental improvement if it sits for a couple of days oxidizing.
But if you leave it too long, it will oxidize and it will go off.
Yeah, well, that's the Russian roulette that we all play when we open a 20-gram bottle of wine, isn't it? Qualifications?
I'm studying for the equivalent of a degree in study of wine.
Aren't we all? Round of applause for Victoria. The equivalent, I mean, not the actual degree. Richard's in Tunbridge Wells on a similar theme. Richard, what would you like to say?
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Victoria has stolen half of my answer, so okay. I'll just cut to the chase.
Well, give us the other half.
She is correct. What you do in a restaurant when somebody orders a fairly posh bottle of wine is you just aerate it. If you get decanting it, get rid of the sediment, you pour it out very, very gently into a jug, and you get another jug, pour it backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, which oxidizes it almost immediately. Then you put into the nice posh decanter, put it on the table.
And if you were doing it at home, you could just decant it once and leave it to sit and then pour it carefully?
You could do, but you're planning ahead 3 hours to drink your wine.
Yeah.
Go ahead. But if you want to get some life into even a £5 supermarket bottle of wine,
you want to zhuzh
it up
a bit.
Add some life to it.
Love it. Qualifications?
Was a bar manager of a 1-star Michelin restaurant.
That'll do nicely. Round of applause for Richard.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm going to squeeze. Can I squeeze in Leanne in Bexley Heath? Question or answer, Leanne?
Oh, hi, James. It's an answer.
Carry on.
It's answer to the what make things sticky.
Molecules.
Yes, it is molecules. In the case of sugar specifically, it's sort of a phenomenon called hydrogen bonding. So basically the molecules that make up sugar are surrounded by, they have a lot of these extensions.
Got it. No, I get it. That works. I can picture extensions.
So it can essentially form these bonds, which are quite weak, but you still feel it. The hydrogen bonds between itself and, say, water specifically, which is why syrups are so sticky. But also, so it sticks to itself better, but also to things like water.
That'll
do.
Qualifications?
Long time sort of chemistry student, PhD chemistry.
Round of applause for Leanne bringing her PhD chemistry skills to the table there. And oddly, same question. I think Joe gets the game this week, doesn't he? Joe gets the Mystery Hour ball game for his superb question about stickiness and his general bonhomie and cheeky chappy demeanour. Always partial to a cheeky chappy demeanour. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player, the official LBC app, where you can also pause and rewind live radio. Download it now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Coming up at 4:00, one person got the thing right that I'm very glad I didn't say. So, and I've forgotten what your name was. Sam. It was Samuel. Samuel someone got it right. Well done. Good spot. Download it now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com. Coming up at 4:00 on LBC, it's Tom Swarbrick, but now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
How exciting is it to play the British Heart Foundation's weekly flutter?
Ka-ching!
Exciting enough to get your heart racing. Just a little bit. Like texting a mate. The same time they text you. Huh. Like flipping pancakes with majestic grace. Or spotting that last parking space. Yes! With the added joy of knowing the money you donate helps to fund life-saving research. £1 to play, £1,000 to win every week. Search British Heart Foundation Weekly Lottery. See? It's a little bit exciting.
Gamble responsibly. Over 18s only. T's and C's apply. Please see our website for more details. British Heart Foundation is a registered charity.
Ever wanted a vacuum that can just do it all? Muddy car boot? A garden spruce up? Even a washing machine leak. A Kärcher wet and dry vacuum is ideal for all those tough jobs your indoor vacuum can't handle. From sawdust to heavy rubble and liquid, save time and effort tackling all those messy jobs. Bring back the wow to your garden, home or car with a Kärcher wet and dry vacuum.